Samaria was under siege by the Syrians. They had the city surrounded. The city had run out of food. They had started eating donkey heads and dove dung and actually started selling it to one another. And some of them had gotten so hungry, they had started to eat their children. We read the story of four lepers who, because of their leprosy, lived outside the city. And one day they made this statement. We read it there in verse 3. Why set we here until we die? Why set we here until we die? They said, if we stay here, there's nothing for us to eat. We're going to die. If we go into the city, there's no food there. We're going to die. Let's go to the Syrians. Now, if they kill us, we're going to die. We were going to die anyway. But maybe they'll let us live and feed us. So they picked up and they went to the Syrians. And when they got to the Syrian camp, there was nobody there. No man. All the tents were still there. All the animals were still there. All the food was still there. All the clothes were still there. But there was no man. We read that verse a moment ago. The Bible caused the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great host. They said Israelites have hired the Hittites and the Egyptians and against us. And so when they thought these armies were coming, they got up and they ran and they left everything behind. But when the four lepers came, they found everything they left behind. Bible says they went into one tent. They ate, they drank. They picked up some clothes. They went and hid them. They went into a second tent and ate and drank. I mean, they were hungry, been without food for a while. And then they said to themselves, this is a day of good news. This is a day of good tidings. If we don't go and tell somebody, mischief will come to us. I preached on this passage of Scripture several years ago from that last part. This is a day of good news. This is a day of good tidings. And my appeal that morning was to each Christian that said, this is a day for us of good news. The good news for us is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we need to go and share it with all those around us. This morning, I want to go back to the beginning of the story. I want to look at that one phrase, the one question they asked themselves, why set we here until we die? And I want to make an appeal to four different groups of people this morning. You're probably all of you in more than one, but I want to make an appeal, and I know I have to be quick, but first of all, I want to make an appeal to every Christian. Why set we here until we die? We as Christians need to grow. We as Christians need to progress in our Christian life. We as Christians need to let the Holy Spirit fully develop in us the gifts that God wants every one of His children to have, the fruits of the Spirit as listed in Galatians chapter 5, love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I think getting saved is a wonderful thing. I think getting our sins forgiven is a wonderful thing. I think getting the righteousness of Christ on our record in heaven is a wonderful thing. But God never intended for our Christianity to stop at salvation. The Great Commission doesn't end with salvation. The Great Commission says to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then it says to teach them in all things that I've commanded you. And so we as Christians not only need to tell people about Christ and to teach them what it is to be a Christian, but we need to grow as a Christian ourselves. We need to develop those gifts of the Spirit. Why set we here until we die? And so I ask you this morning, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as one that bears His name, in your Christian life, are you growing? Are you progressing? Are you developing? If you're not closer to Christ today than you were a year ago, if you don't reflect more of the fruits of the Spirit today than you did a year ago, you're backsliding. Well, maybe that's the worst case. If you're not backsliding, you're standing still. And neither one of them is good for a Christian. God wants us to keep moving forward. He wants us to get more of His mind. He wants us to discover more of His will. He wants us to display more of the fruits of the Spirit. And so, and I know I'm preaching to people that come to this church, but I want you to be in a place in your life so that you can grow as a Christian. I think you ought to be in a church, if this is not your home church, I think you ought to be in a church like this that teaches and preaches the Bible, the Word of God. I think you ought to be in a church like this where there's fellow Christians that you can fellowship with, hear their testimonies, see their struggles, see how God works in their life, and learn from their examples. I think you ought to be in a church that encourages you to read the Word of God, to read the Bible. I think you ought to be in a church that encourages you to pray. I think you ought to be in a church that encourages you to serve. And I exhort you to this morning, look at your Christian life. How much time are you spending in the Bible? How much time are you spending in prayer? How much time are you serving God through the local church? And if it's less today than it was yesterday or the day before or last year or the year before that, why are you sitting still? You're not going to die spiritually. You have eternal life in Jesus Christ. But somebody that's not growing is not useful to God. He says, I'm the vine. You're the branches. I want you to stay hooked into me so that you can produce. I want you to keep growing. I want you to keep bearing. And so, again, I ask you, why set ye here until we die? Grow as a Christian, mature as a Christian. Second, I appeal to every husband and wife here this morning. I think it's wonderful. Three couples that we sang anniversary to, 127 years of marriage between the three of them. And so I ask every husband and wife here this morning, how's your marriage? Is it growing? Is it getting stronger? Are you growing closer together? I was thinking Friday night when I was working on my message, isn't it a shame that people get married and they only stay married for a couple years or for 5 years or for 10 years or in some cases for 20 years and then they decide to call it quits and get a divorce? They never really discover what love is. Ask Jack and Janice. They've been married for 51. I didn't even know you were that old, Janice. Jack must have married you when you were a baby. But for 51 years, I dare say they know more about what love is than somebody's been married for 5 years. Why would you forego that and not try to stay together until death do you part? That's what God wants. Dick and Laura, 49. Laurel and Marilyn, I know this is each of their second marriage because they lost their first spouses. But they stayed together. And that's what God wants our marriages to do. He wants them to stay together. He wants them to grow. He wants them to get stronger. I mean, if you don't love your wife and if you don't love your husband more today than you did yesterday and last year, your marriage is not growing. It's not the kind of marriage that God wants. Get around people like the three that we sang to this morning. Learn from their example. You stay in this book. Every time I marry somebody, I tell them, the Bible is our handbook. It tells us what a husband should be. It tells us what a wife should be. It tells us how marriage should be. You ought to be a part of the church that holds up marriage. You ought to be a part of a church that tells men what they ought to be as husbands and ladies what they ought to be as wives. And I appeal to every husband and wife this morning. Why set you here until you die? Don't just be satisfied if your marriage is the same today as it was last year. Make it grow. Amen. You say, how do I do that, preacher? Well, the Bible tells us, spend time together. Do things together. Get around other Christians that have gone through the same struggles that you are and learn from their example. Stay in God's Word. Stay in church. Those are all things that'll help your marriage grow stronger. Number three, I appeal not only to every Christian and to every husband and wife, I appeal to our church this morning. God does not want a church to get to a certain level and then quit. He does not want a church to fill up their auditorium and say, well, the auditorium is full, we can grow no more, so we're just going to be happy with what we have and we're not going to reach out to anybody else. I think God is pleased. I think He is pleased that we're knocking out the walls. I think He is pleased that we're expanding. I look forward to today when we have these walls knocked out and the balconies open and we still don't have room for people to sit. I believe that God is pleased with a church like that. I don't believe that God is happy with these churches that get to a certain level and then they say, we're big enough, we don't need to grow anymore, we're just going to stay right where we are. You say, preacher, don't you know there's problems that come with the church as it gets bigger? Yes, I know that. You don't have to tell me. I know it. I won't tell you how I know it. I just know it. But listen, just because there's problems that come with it, just because it's harder in some cases, doesn't mean that God wants us to stop. He wants us as a church to keep growing. He doesn't want us just to get to the point and just set. Because if we set, we're going to die. Say, preacher, what do you mean? The auditorium is full. If we set, we'll be okay. No, you know what happens? People die. People move away for various reasons. If new people are not coming in, if the church is not growing, if it's not growing, pretty soon it's going to be dead. Why set we here until we die? I don't want you to get satisfied. I know some of you are saying, oh, I'll be glad when we get the back done and the balcony open. That way I can spread out. I can have my 25 inches of pew. I won't have to sit next to each other. I might not even have to wear deodorant anymore. People be so far away. Listen, I'll be happy if you're packed in this place like a bunch of sardines. I'll be happy if you have to put on twice as much deodorant. Amen? All right. So, why set we here until we die? We have a God that wants us to grow, that's given us a commission to go out into the world and tell the world about Jesus Christ. We need to do it. And then number four, I appeal to every person here this morning that's lost, that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven. I appeal to you this morning with the question that these lepers asked themselves, why set ye there until you die? Let me remind you this morning, you're a sinner. I'm not saying that. The Word of God says that. The Word of God said there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God says the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. Being separated from the one that made you. Being separated from the God that controls the universe. Being separated from the Heavenly Father that loves you and wants you to be a part of His family. That's the penalty of sin. And if you sit there, you're going to die. You're dead already in your sins. And you're going to die for all eternity because the wages of sin is separation from God. Not just here on this earth, but forever. In that place that was not prepared for people, but was prepared for Satan and all his demons. That place called hell. Death. Death. Why set you here until you die? I want to tell you something this morning. You have a God that loves you. You have a God because He loves you. He sent His Son to this earth to live among men, to die on a cross. And as He died on the cross, God put on Him every one of our sins. And Jesus, as we pictured it in the Lord's Supper this morning, Jesus died for every one of our sins. He paid the price. He shed His blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. He shed His blood to pay for every one of your sins, every one of my sins, the sins of the entire universe of mankind for all time. Amen. Every sin. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Why set ye here until you die? Jesus makes that salvation, that gift of life, available to every person. Doesn't depend on your background. Doesn't depend on your upbringing. Doesn't depend on what you look like, what color you are, what kind of bad habits you got. That salvation, that gift of life is made available to every single person made available to you. Amen. Why set ye here until you die? The Bible says that every person that takes it, that God will give them the power to become a child of His. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power to become a son of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Why? Why would you sit there and die? Why would you sit there when God offers to every person that gift of life? Why would you sit there and die? You say, well, preacher, I don't believe this book. Why? It's the Word of God. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what God says. And you say, well, I just can't get my head wrapped around that God would love me enough to send his son to die in my place. That's just hard for me to wrap my head around. Tell you what, it's hard for me to wrap my head around too. I don't know why he'd do it. I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But he did. So let me ask you this morning, what do you got to lose by trying Jesus Christ? What do you have to lose? You're in the same position the lepers were. If they stayed where they were going to die. If they went into the city of Samaria, they were going to die. If they went to the Syrians and the Syrians killed them, they were going to die. But if they went to the Syrians and the Syrians had mercy on them, they would live. I guarantee you, if you sit where you are and never come to Jesus Christ, you're going to die. Amen. You're dead already. Bible says we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We're dead outside of Christ. What have you got to lose by coming to Jesus Christ? What if, listen, you may say, oh, well, I just don't believe the Bible. What if the Bible's right? Huh? What if it's right? What if the world is wrong and this book is right and everybody that dies apart from Christ is going to go to hell? What if the Bible's right? That means you're going to go to hell. Why would you take that risk? It didn't cost you anything to come to Christ. It cost God an awful lot. He had to give his son. It cost Jesus an awful lot. He had to suffer on the cross and bear our sins. But it didn't cost you a thing. It's free. That's what a gift is. And if you would just come and take it, say, well, I don't listen, you don't have to understand everything about the Christian life before you get saved. If we had to understand everything about the Christian life before we got saved, none of us would have got saved. It's coming in simple, childlike faith, believing that you're a sinner and believing that Jesus died for you. And if you trust him, he'll save you. I don't know how to make it any simpler. Amen. I don't know how to make it any more direct. You're dying. You're dead. And you're going to be dead for all eternity apart from Christ. Why would you sit where you are and not come to him for life? I can't think of one good reason. And if you're honest with yourself, neither can you. Satan will try to give you all sorts of reasons, but he's a liar. He wants everybody to go to hell. I can't think of one good reason why, if you don't know Jesus this morning, that you shouldn't come and receive him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making the gospel so simple that as Adam preaches in the back room to the little kids, they can understand it just as easily as the adults can understand it in this room. I pray for those that are here that don't know Jesus. I pray they would see their sin and the penalty that that sin has associated with it, death, separation from you. I pray you'd help them see that there's nothing that they can do to take care of that sin, but that what Jesus did on Calvary takes care of it completely. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And Father, if there's just one person here this morning that's never received Christ, I pray they would put aside all their doubts, they would put aside all the things that have kept them from coming to the cross, and they would come to the cross this morning and receive the gift of salvation that Jesus purchased there. I pray for Christians this morning. Most of us here this morning are Christians. Help us to examine our Christian walk, our Christian life. Are we growing? Are we getting closer to you? Are we spending more time in your word? Are we spending more time in prayer? If not, Father, help us to grow. Help our church to grow. Help the marriages that are represented in this room this morning to grow. Help us not to sit here and die. I pray you bless this time of invitation. Use it, Holy Spirit, to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.